The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
Have you ever had one of those days? One of those days when you're done with your day, all you want to do is go home, crawl into a fetal position in your bed, and sleep for 3 days. I've had a couple of those this week. Usually because I've been outside working, and I go and shower because I'm soaking wet. But it's one of those days that just drains the life out of you, you know? And you don't want anybody to talk to you. You don't want anybody to look at you. You want everybody just to leave you alone because the day has just been too much. That is the day that Jesus was having. As we look at the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read this if you can. If you can't, that's okay. We stand in honor of God's word. And this is what Mark tells us. It says, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in a boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. Because remember, Jesus was standing in the boat out in the middle of the kind of a bay area, kind of, and he was preaching and teaching. And he tells them, "Let's go." And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he, Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Now, if you read this, it doesn't look like it says, it's just, "Teacher, do you not realize that we are perishing?" But I think it was more like, "Teacher, do you not realize we're perishing?" Right? In my head, that's how I'm reading it. Sorry, I let you into my head there for a second. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is God's word for God's people. Hear it and believe. Father, we praise you for your word. And Lord, I hope by the end of this time we have together that we realize that we need to praise you for the storms in our lives. Be with us, Father. We pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. It had been a very long and taxing day. Jesus had come back to Capernaum. And if you remember this, what Mark tells us previous to this is that Jesus was at a house, and the people were all around him, and they were crowding in him. It was so bad that he could not even eat. He and his disciples hadn't even eaten that day. So they're there. And then coming down from Jerusalem, the Sadducees were coming down. The scribes were coming down. And what they were doing is they had presupposed what they were going to feel about Jesus, and they were going to prejudge him. And they were coming to kind of prove that he was not who he said he was. And then his mother and his brothers are outside. They've come all the way from Nazareth so that they can take him back with them because they think he's a lunatic. So you have the crowd, you have the scribes who think he's in cahoots with Beelzebub, and you have his family who thinks he's crazy. So Jesus decides to go down for a little walk along the Sea of Galilee. And as he's walking down along that sea, the crowd comes in again. And what does he have to do? He has to go out in the boat because they're crowding so much. His clothes are probably already wet because he's standing on the shore and they're just moving closer and closer to him. And so he decides, let's get out in the boat, which is a great thing because, you know, if you know anything about, you know, water, it's great to bounce sounds off the water. I mean, you could be out in the middle of the boat and in a place twice the size, and I could hardly talk, and you'd still hear me, because it's a great way to amplify it. So he's teaching them, and he's continuing to teach them about the kingdom of God. But evening's coming, And what he does is he tells his disciples, it's time to go. What's interesting, and this is one of the things you have to, I think you have to think about as you're reading scripture. We're reading, that's why I changed my inflection when I was reading that, because we read this and we read it like it's just words. But what we don't know, we don't understand the cultural context. We don't understand the original language that it was in, which this would have been in Greek. And in Greek, what the sentence that Jesus uses wasn't just like, hey, let's go to the other side. It was, let's go now. That word and those phrases get used quite a bit in my house. Because if I go to my kids and I say, hey, let's get ready for church. Yeah. 20 minutes later, I'll come and we still don't have our church clothes on. In fact, this morning, I'm down eating my breakfast because I had to come early. And Beth goes, go light a fire under the kids. So did I go upstairs and go, hey, guys, let's get ready. No. I said, let's go now. And that's what Jesus says. There's an urgency to this. He wants to get to the other. He wants to go. He's done. He's tired. It's been a long day. He's exhausted. And what you have to understand is Jesus was God. We know he was God. He was never in his deity. He was never less than God. But Jesus was also human. He had two natures. You and I, we have one nature. He had two. He was fully God in all ways, never less than God. But he was also fully human. In his humanity, he was never more than human. We'll talk more about this in January. We'll talk about his humanity and why that's so important to us. Jesus is just like us in all ways. Hebrews 2:17 says, therefore, he had been made like his brothers in every respect. He was made like us in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. To take our sins, he had to be human. Why? Because the sinners are human. He had to be fully human. Jesus is fully human, so he's tired. I mean, Jesus did not have, you know, he couldn't take his cloak like this and have a big S on his chest. He was not able to leap large camels in a single bound. He was not super Jesus. He was human, yet he was still God. He was fully human. He had all the same frailties that you and I deal with. I'm sure his feet hurt at times. I don't know. Seems to me they were walking a whole lot. And I don't think they had, you know, Nike. They had sandals, strap of leather. Not so much good for the arch support. It was hard. He didn't sleep in beds most of the time. They probably slept out in the wild, on the side of a road someplace, on maybe a blanket. He had the same issues we had, dealt with the same physical limitations that you and I have. He got tired. I mean, that day in Capernaum would have worn the best of us out. My wife is, man, she's crazy energy. I mean, literally. She wears me out, me watching her. People wonder. We've had a lot of people drive by because I've been working outside, and I'll be sitting, and she'll be working. They're like, hey, you got it, man. You're doing it right. I'm like, dude, you have no idea. I'm tired from all the work I just finished, and I'm tired watching her. She's full of energy. But she gets to a point where she can't take it anymore, and she drops. She gets tired. Jesus, that's Jesus. He was full of energy. He knew he was on a mission, but he was tired. So Jesus goes in the boat, tells him it's time to go. And he goes and he lies down and he goes to sleep. He sleeps. And while he's sleeping, a storm comes up. Now, I want you to understand, storms are pretty normal on the Sea of Galilee. A storm is not out of the ordinary on the sea. And the reason why, and I want to get the right height, the Sea of Galilee is 628 feet below sea level. Understand that? The sea is here. The Sea of Galilee is down here. Okay? It's below sea level. And it's surrounded by this mountain range. And in this mountain range are all these ravines. So what happens is the wind comes down through these ravines and it acts as a funnel. And it pushes wind out towards the sea. And on top of that, you can see there's a little bit of flat area around the lake in spots. And, you know, the sun beating down on that kind of heats it up. So the cool air comes over the mountains and it hits that hot air and it pushes it and it drops. Because cold air drops, right? And hot air rises. Natural thermodynamics. So it hits it, it drops, and it pushes wind down onto the Sea of Galilee. Storms, bad storms, are not out of the ordinary. This is a really, really bad storm. It's a bad storm. I mean, Mark calls it a great windstorm. And I don't, not so sure it does it justice. If we go to Matthew, Matthew calls it a seismology. Get these words right. He calls it seismos. It's a Greek word. You know what seismos means? Earthquake. That's how bad this storm is. It is hitting so hard, it is shaking them to the very core. It is a bad, bad storm. But think about this. Who's in the boat with him? We have Peter. We have James and John. What did Peter, James, and John do before they were following Jesus? Where were the fishermen at? Don't you think they've experienced this one, two times in their life? I don't think this is the first storm they've ever seen on the Sea of Galilee. I mean, they're pretty experienced at this. They're experienced fishermen. They had businesses. They weren't just, you know, they weren't just out there just having a good day. They were experienced in this. And they're scared. These grown men who are experienced fishermen on the Sea of Galilee are scared for their life. They have no idea that this awful storm is going to be a great lesson for them and for us. You know, at times it's easy to push God aside and not think about the power that he has when it comes to our lives. I mean, we go through our day, and I don't think we realize how many things God keeps us from stepping into. Life is like walking through a cow pasture. I'm telling you, you're going to step into some issues. But there are times when God keeps us from stepping where we don't need to go. Have you had experiences like that where, you know, you're driving along and, you know, this car, it just happened last week, or two weeks ago, we were out north, and I'm the light had turned, I'm first person in the turn lane, light had turned, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, don't go. And all of a sudden this Cadillac Escalade just blew through the light, doing probably 45 miles an hour. If I had gone when I first thought I was going to go, I would have been hit in the side, and so would have Caleb. God keeps us from storms sometimes. But sometimes, as some of us realize, he doesn't keep us from those storms. Sometimes he steps out of the way and he allows those storms to come into our lives. And it's easy for us to sit there and say, hey, you know, it's just a coincidence. There are no coincidences. There's no such thing as luck. But we push God aside. And those of us that have been in storms in our life, we realize that God does not teach us. He does not stretch us. He does not grow us when our lives are calm. You know? Isn't that the way we want life to be? Just nice, calm. But we don't grow. That's not when God grows us. He grows us in the storms. It's in the difficulties, the trials, the stresses. And many times it's even in our failures that God grows us the most and helps us to become who we're supposed to be. That's how God works. So the storm on the Sea of Galilee was an opportunity for the disciples to step up and to grow. I know many of you are probably in the midst of a storm right now. And you're thinking, man, God, why am I doing it? Why is it going through this? I mean, we try to negotiate with God, say, well, God, if you get me through this, you know, I'll be a better person. Or, God, get me through this and I'll spend more time at the church doing your work, or I'll give more, or I'll love more. Or what fools. You can't negotiate with God. We should be doing it anyways. Those things should be happening anyways, not just because we're in a tight situation. So as you are going through these trials, or a lot of times you may be at a place where you see a storm on the horizon, you need to ask God to make the best of this. God, use this for my growth and for your glory. Make the best of it. The storm continued to bombard the boat. The sails were ragged. And I mean, the boat, it says water's coming in. I mean, I want you to imagine this scene, you know. The disciples are just like, they're trying to row it. You know, they have a sail, but they probably took the sail down because it would have ripped it to shreds. So they're trying to row across. And in the meantime, man, they're trying to bail the water out. I remember in West Virginia, we had an old wooden rowboat. And first thing you had to do was, man, we had to bail the water out. And sometimes, as you're going along, and I spent a whole day in it with my great uncle fishing, about every couple hours, got to bail the water out because the water was coming in. This is like every few seconds, water is dumping into this boat, and they are bailing, and they're rowing, and they're trying their best. And as they're doing that, could you imagine the scene? They're sitting there doing that, and they look back, and where's Jesus? He's sitting, sleeping. And what's he sitting on and sleeping on? A cushion. I mean, you can kind of give him a little grace if he was on the bottom of the wooden boat. I mean, at least you're thinking, well, you know, he's going to wake up sooner or later because he's been being thrown around. But no, Jesus is on a cushion, asleep. And so they're rowing, and you could just think, you know, is he awake yet? You know, they're rowing, they're bailing. Is he awake? Is he going to wake up? Is he dead? Somebody check his pulse. Right? Who could sleep through this storm? Nobody normal could sleep through this storm. There's no way. But Jesus is asleep on a cushion at the back of the boat. It would, to their minds, they're thinking Jesus is completely unaware of the situation. He's unaware that they're about to drown. And yet, what we got to know and we got to understand is that Jesus was in constant communication with his Father. He knew what his Father wanted. And he knew he was able to sleep in the midst of the storm because he knew that if God's will was for them to drown, there's nothing he could do about it. It was going to happen. But he knew that wasn't God's will because God had a plan for him. And he knew that God the Father would wake him up when it was time for him to do God's will. So he could sleep soundly. And not worry. He knew the boat wasn't going to sink. Not because he was Jesus. Not because he was God. He just knew that his Father had a plan for him. And he was following it. And he was, rest assured, he was in God's hands. I'm sure the disciples, you know, felt similar to what we do at times. You know, we feel alone. You know, we're in the midst of this trial. Man, nobody understands. God just doesn't understand. He just doesn't know what's going on with my life right now. He doesn't understand that this storm is going to take me under, that this storm is going to destroy me, that this storm is going to just completely obliterate my life. He doesn't get it. God just doesn't understand, and he doesn't care, right? Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't care. But the point is, he cares. Because God knows every wave that's hitting your boat. God knows every beat of your heart, how quickly it's beating. He knows the rate of your respiration. He knows your inner thoughts. God knows your fears. God knows his plan for you. He knows your dreams. God cares. See, that storm on the Sea of Galilee was needed for the disciples to grow spiritually. And you know what? The storms in your life are needed for you to grow spiritually. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that I don't have storms and I wish I didn't have storms. I don't. I wish I didn't have any storms in my life at times. Well, I've come to realize in my life is many a times I'm the one who started the storm. But God still uses it. So what do the disciples do? They walk up to Jesus and they frantically wake him up. I could imagine that one of them finally says, I've had it. I have had enough. I'm tired of him sleeping and we're all going to die and he's going to go down with it. He's going to sleep through his own death. And I'm sure they went up to him and they didn't just say, Jesus, the boat's sinking. Better get up. They do what I do when I have to wake my kids up. All right, it's time to get up. I'm sure they took him and they shook him. They startled him. Again, Jesus is human. He wasn't laying there asleep knowing that what they were going to do. He didn't know. He was asleep. In his humanness, I'm sure he was woke up. He was so tired. He was in a deep sleep. So they wake him up and they ask him, don't you know that we're going to die? And could you imagine him saying, oh, here we go again. How many times? And he gets up and he says, peace, be still. Be calm. And the waters stopped flooding into the boat. The boat stopped rocking. The wind stopped blowing instantly. The clouds rolled back. And it says it was calm. Now, understand that the Greek word that they used there is actually almost like it was pushed down. Like a hand came, pushed the wind around, and then pushed the waves down and made it calm. Made it calm. Now let's think about the reaction of the apostles. Could you imagine? They're like, wait a minute. Especially the one who woke him up. I just woke Jesus up from asleep and look what he just did. Their mouths were hanging open. I'm sure some of them had to pick their jaws up off of the ground, off the deck of the boat. Because this man who was just asleep gets up and in a moment calms the storm. That the very elements obey him. And they are fearful of him. It's not a horror stricken, I've got to run and get away from him. It's this, oh my, I didn't know he could do that. And if he can do that, what else can he do? What else can he do? It's going to take many, many more miracles and more time for the disciples to fully understand the full power that belongs to Jesus Christ. And if you understand it, power he had was the Father's power. He was using the power his Father gave him. In Colossians 1:16 it says, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Jesus is the creator and the sustainer of all things. In his deity as God, he is the one who spoke things into being. He is the one that holds us together. Understand, without Jesus, our atoms would split apart. We would cease to exist without Christ. Pretty solid, right? Without Christ, that would be non-existent. It's made of wood. Similarly, some kind of wood. Without it, without Christ, it's nothing. That's how powerful he is. In the next verse, in Colossians 1:17, it says, "For he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Jesus is creator, sustainer. He's our goal. He's a savior of our soul. If you believe this, if you believe that Jesus is the creator and the sustainer and our savior, there is no storm you can't weather. And we've had some pretty bad storms, haven't we? And I'm not just talking in Florida and Texas. Those have been bad storms in Puerto Rico and the islands. But don't we always rebuild? For the most part. But I'm talking about the storms in our lives. We've had some bad storms. But if you believe that Jesus is creator, sustainer, and that he is your savior and he is your goal, you can weather any storm. Peter, the Apostle Peter, and he's our principal source for the book of Mark. You know, he's one of them that's in the boat, and he may have been the very one who woke up Jesus. Peter came to understand this fact. In fact, he goes on after the storm, and he shares with us, he encourages Christians. He says in 1 Peter 1:6, "If in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." He's telling them, you know, this is the joy you have, that these trials are temporary. And that if you have Christ, he's eternal. He's encouraging us. But on that lake that day, Jesus does what? He questions why they are so afraid. He questions their faith. And he tells them, "Do you have such weak faith now? Do you still? By this time, you should see. You've seen all the miracles I've done. You have seen what the Father is doing through me. You have seen me heal the blind, heal the lame. You've seen me." By this time, they've probably seen him turn water into wine. They've seen him, all kinds of things he's done. They've heard his teaching. He says, "You still don't get it? Your faith is weak." 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love." They have yet to be perfected in love. And there are many of us who are scared to death of things. Abigail is scared to go. She's getting better because I've been tormenting her, but she's scared to death. And I'll tell you how I've been tormenting her. It's not been the best way, but it works. She's been scared to death to go into rooms by herself, dark or otherwise. I say, "Turn the light on." "No, I don't want to go in the room." Why? Because she's afraid there's spiders in there. So we'll say, "Abigail, go up to your room and get this. Caleb, can you go with me?" I said, "No, you go by yourself." I said, "If there's a spider in there, kill it. Do it on your own." After studying for this sermon and reading that, I'm like, "Man, I got it all wrong. I'm supposed to be loving her and saying, 'Oh, sweetheart, I understand. Let Daddy go with you.'" No. She needs to weather that storm to overcome that fear. And she's doing it, believe it or not. She's doing it to spite me. I know that's why she's doing it. But she's doing it. And she'll get to the point where she understands there's nothing to be afraid of. And she knows, "I love her. And I will never allow something to happen to her. If I can prevent it, I will prevent it from happening." As any parent would.
Perfect love casts out all fear. Faith. The kind of faith that we need to have in Christ will cast out the fear we have as we're weathering our storms. This power and this love that Jesus Christ has for us will cast out that fear if we have faith in him. The kind of faith is a conquering faith. It sees that, number one, we're not alone in the boat. In your storms, you are not by yourself. As much as we like to tell ourselves, I'm all alone, nobody understands. Jesus is there. Now, he may be asleep at the back of the boat. I know sometimes in my life, I think I'm looking forward. I got a storm coming. And I'm looking forward, and he's back here asleep. Probably because I wore him out. And I never look back to see him in my boat with me. And I forget he's there. And I try to take the storm on my own. Instead of having faith in Christ, that no matter what happens, no matter how bad that storm is, he's here with me. And he has a plan for me. And if it's his time to take me home, then I'm going home. And if I'm not going home, he wants me to stay and wants me to overcome this storm. It's my choice. One or the other. Either way, I'm with Jesus. He's either here with me or I'm with him. But he's always in our boat. And the boat is not going to sink. It's not going to sink. So what do we need to do? How do we deal with this? First of all, we need to understand and believe that it is the storms, the afflictions, the tribulations in our lives that grow us. And we need to look at them not as, you know, we don't need to be afraid of them. We don't need to sit there and say, I don't want to go through any of them. We don't want to avoid them. We need to go through them. And we need to go through them understanding that Jesus is with me. Because, you know, if we didn't have storms, man, wouldn't we be a bunch of selfish people? If our lives were just smooth sailing. I was listening to, I had to run home today because the Google Drive wasn't working for, I'm not going to get into the technical part of it. So we didn't need to have something here we needed. So I said, I have it at home. So I ran home and I'm listening to the radio. And they're talking about this movie that has come out about Steve McQueen. Steve McQueen, and some of you younger people have no idea who Steve McQueen is, but I know who Steve McQueen is. Steve McQueen was the ultimate of cool, right? And as an actor, he was a very great actor, had certain kind of characters. As a person, he was not a very nice person. He was very mean to people. But he always had this feeling in his life that there was something missing. And one day he was on the set, he was acting, he was having a lot of pain. He goes to the hospital and has some tests run and find out that he has he had mesothelioma. He was dying. He had cancer all throughout his body. So he was, it changed him. And he goes and he decides he's going to go to Mexico for a special, an experimental treatment that they won't do here. But he says he has one wish. He wants to meet Billy Graham. So Billy and Steve McQueen had rented a private jet to fly down there. So Billy Graham met him on the tarmac, walks in and sits down and starts talking to him, praying with him. And Steve says, I'm so sorry, I don't have my Bible. And Billy Graham says, here, take mine. So Steve McQueen goes down to Mexico with Billy Graham's Bible, has the surgery. It's a success. They got all the cancer out. And a couple weeks later, he dies of a heart attack. And they come in and they pull the sheet back and he's got the sheet over him and he's got Billy Graham's Bible clutched right here. Storms are going to happen. No matter who we are. No matter how much you think you have it together. No matter how perfect you think your life is. No matter how wonderful you think your life is. You're going to have storms. The best of them do. The most important thing is to remember that Jesus is always with you. That's one thing we got to do. Jesus wants to develop us through the storms. that are ahead of us. And he's able to deliver us with a single word. A single word. The Jesus Christ that I have in my life. Yeah, sometimes is asleep in the boat, mostly because I'm ignoring him. But he's in that boat with me. That same Jesus was the same Jesus that was on the Sea of Galilee. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. My boat's not going to sink. If I trust him, if I have faith in him, if I understand his love for me and the love he wants me to have for others, he's in the boat. He's in the boat. We're not going to sink. We're going to go through some storms. We need to trust him. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We praise you, Father, for the fact that we do go through storms. And sometimes those storms are rough. Sometimes those storms look like they're going to destroy us. Our boat is sinking. Its water is flowing over. And the bow is dipping into the water, and it's rough. But we know, Lord, that you're there. If we would trust you, you still calm the storms. But you calm it in your timing, not ours. We praise you for that. Help us to have faith, Father. A faith that is a conquering faith, to conquer our fears, and to realize that we're never alone, that you're always in the boat if we would just surrender to you. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.